As we enter into a time of reflection on these holy words, let us pray. Holy One, you call us. You come to us. You surround us. You empower us. Be with us now as we reflect on these words of Holy Scripture. Be with us now in our hearts and our minds. And may the meditations of these parts of our body be in tune with your word. May we come before you this day and hear you speaking. Holy One, send your insight to us, to stir us, to wake us, to have us dream. Through your power we pray. Amen. Today is the day that we celebrate as the birth of the church. Most times on this day, we would have cake.
Yeah.
And when Reverend Richard realized that today, he was sad.
Very sad.
It's been 50 days since Easter, 10 days since Jesus' ascension. It is the day of Pentecost. In Luke's gospel, Jesus, before the ascension, tells his disciples, well, he tells them effectively to stay inside and not to go out, not to teach or preach or make grand plans until they had received a gift from his Father, that gift that was promised to them, until they were clothed from power on high. And today is that day when the Holy Spirit came. When the power of the Lord descended and amazing things happened, wind and fire and speech that enabled everyone to hear the good news at once. It was the day when people gathered from across the known globe who traveled to Jerusalem for the pilgrimage celebration of Pentecost heard the good news. Over the last 11 weeks, we have had a glimpse of what that time between Jesus' ascension and the Holy Spirit's descending must have been like for those first disciples. After all, who among us hasn't had the thought or said talked about the things that we would do when the coronavirus is not a threat, when we are able to see our family again, when we can go to the gym, when? The reality is many of the things we have taken for granted have been put on hold. And being in that holding pattern would have been a reality for the disciples, because they had been empowered by the resurrection. They had seen and experienced it. They were amazed by Jesus' ascension and eager to share the good news that they had known. But Jesus had instructed them to wait, to stay in the city until you have the power. We know what it's like to stay inside, to limit contact, because we don't have the power to treat or prevent the coronavirus. While we may still be waiting to go out into the city and beyond safely, on this day, the disciples' waiting ended. The power of the Holy Spirit came and enabled them to create community across divides of language, culture, distance. The Holy Spirit poured out on the disciples. The Pentecost flame dwelt with them and in them and empowered them to speak in ways that they had never spoken before, proclaiming God's good news in Jesus that they had never imagined that they could, in ways that they never could imagine before. Now, the reality that we are waiting for our physical lives to get back on track, but the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit continue to be poured out on us. For since that first Pentecost, the Spirit has never ceased to flow amongst God's people. Although we at times have not lived into that reality or truly understood what it means to live as a Spirit-filled people. Take the community of Corinth. They had a high appreciation for the Holy Spirit's power in their midst. They felt its presence. The excitement of the gifts of the Spirit were acknowledged in their lives. However, as we know, the community of Corinth was also divided. We can read into our scriptures that some of the gifts were viewed as more important, of higher value than others. That people were taking pride in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that had been given to them and promoting themselves because what the Spirit enabled them to do. Paul writes to that community, seeking to put the idea of privilege because of what we have been gifted to bed. Paul calls the Corinthians back to the truth that the gifts are not about ourselves or how good we are or what we can do, but they are given by the Holy Spirit as gift for communal life, for the greater good. The life of faith is not and has never been about what we can do ourselves. It is about the ways in which the gifts of God's people come together. Paul calls out the community for the neglect of the variety of ways in which the Holy Spirit is manifest for God's work in the world. He reminds the community that none of us individually has everything we need. That none of us has all the spiritual gifts. But that together, the Spirit binds us as the body of Christ, as a community of God's gifted people. He reminds us that we together have everything we need. This is a vital message today for our church and our world, because divisions, individual priorities, and agendas seek to make too many of God's people expendable. We hear it in the rhetoric and the arguments used to open the economy as being more important than the lives of the older or the medically vulnerable. It is woven through the lived reality of people of color who live with the real tangible fear that they will be the next George Floyd. It is seen in our indifference and or outright disdain for people who struggle with homelessness, addiction, and mental illness. It happens whenever we cut ourselves off from part of the body of Christ, when we start to look at each other as liabilities instead of part of the body, just as important as ourselves. When we forget that each person has been blessed by the Holy Spirit with gifts that they bring for the building up of the body. When we forget this, we all lose. The church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is able to do anything God sets before us. But this only happens when we work with each other, when we work together and offer what we have. When one of us walks away or is pushed away, yes, the church can limp along, but we are not what God has intended us to be. Too often, our church, the United Church of Canada in general, and even St. Paul's specifically, lack that deep appreciation of the Holy Spirit in action. We often give the Holy Spirit lip service, especially today on Pentecost Sunday. But the rest of the year, we act and respond like it's all about us. We put our agendas first. We neglect to acknowledge that the church, to be alive and well, God's Holy Spirit needs to be the driving force behind everything that we do. And we do not talk about the ways in which the Holy Spirit is pouring itself out on us daily, seeking to live and ignite our hearts, to bless us with passion and gifts for the world, challenging us to view our world in new and deeper interconnected ways. We forget that it's at its heart, the church is a coming together in the power of the Holy Spirit to live out and share the good news. Too often we find ourselves in places of fear about what we don't have, what we can't offer, what the future will hold. But this is why the Holy Spirit binds us together as the body of Christ. This is the good news. So we do not have to worry about what we do not have. For together, we have all that we need. As an active body, what we have is enough. When we work together from our strengths, our gifts, we take our place in the growing, unending church of God. We become the body of Christ alive in the world. This is what God calls us to. Not just some of us, but all of us. Jew and Greek, slave and free, old and young, gay and straight, black, brown, white, rich and poor, all of us together, giving as the Spirit has blessed. Just like that first Pentecost, today the Spirit comes as wind and flame, as tug and pull on our hearts. Do you feel it? Open yourself to its power, for it is here. Let it live in you, so that we are bound together by the flame and breath of God, and touched by that Spirit. May we rise to proclaim the good news, God's good news, in this hurt and broken world. Amen. The Spirit is with us. Amen. Amen.